Entrepreneur Ideas Podcast, episode 44. Hey everybody, it is Dean Soto and this is the Entrepreneur Ideas Podcast, the podcast dedicated to you, the man of the house, the husband, the father, dedicated to helping you find ways to escape the dual income trap. That's right, to get rid of the two income family and help your family become a single income family. All right, so this episode, we have an amazing interview with Brett Bartlett, and he's going to share how he went from literally almost no business to a six-figure business with something that was very, very easy to do. All that and more coming up on the Entrepreneur Ideas Podcast. All right, so I hope you're having a great one. I am excited about this interview. It's a rather long interview, so I am going to go right into it. This is someone who's very special and very dear to my heart, mainly because you'll find out why. I won't ruin that. But Brett Bartlett, he went from working full time to trying some things on the side, and now he is a full time entrepreneur. In just a rather short period of time, and he's going to share how he was able to do that. He's going to share and how easy it was to actually do as far as the business model is concerned, and how non-complex it was. But don't get me wrong, it is still hard work. And he's going to share just a lot of the family, how, like, all of the emotions and stuff behind this whole transformation and how you can get there, which is what we talk about, right? How do we get to that point where he's at and so on. But rather than keep it on going on and rambling, I want to go right into this very, very, very special interview. If you have not heard any of this podcast at all, or if you want to listen to other things, this is probably the most important podcast I've done in a long time. This is probably the best podcast I've done, especially podcast interview that I've done in a long time. So don't listen to my other interviews. Listen to this one, okay? All right, so let's just go into it. Here is Brett Bartlett. All right, everybody. I am here with a very, very special guest. Someone that is near and dear to my heart. No bias whatsoever. He's only my cousin. his name is Brett Bartlett, and he has a really, really cool story. And he is an entrepreneur, just a recent entrepreneur. I'm going to let him explain how that happened. But very interesting how it came to be that he was able to leave his job and do what he wants to do is with his own business. So rather than tell you his life story, I will let him introduce yourself. So Brett, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Dean. My backstory is actually that Dean is kind of my hero. But seriously, he basically is a few years older than me, and I've been blessed in the fact that he's kind of paved the way. He gets the learning curve, and I get to benefit from that. Not only with regular life with kids and family and wife and that type of stuff, but also in business. So Dean actually introduced me to the idea of becoming an entrepreneur. And I'm so blessed with that because the majority of my journey of being an entrepreneur has been not so successful. And I'm sure lots of entrepreneurs would say the same thing. But basically, Dean kind of opened my eyes to who I am and what I wanted to become. And from that point on, I made a goal to become an entrepreneur and be my own boss. And so, Dean, I'm super thankful that you actually brought that to my attention, because my whole life I thought I just kind of wanted to follow the path that everyone else was and get a good job and be good to my boss and get promotions and stuff like that. But I realized I was kind of wired a little bit different.
No problem. Check. You can write a check. You know, we're cousins, so maybe 80% off of my consulting
fee.
Yeah,
I'll run that through grandma.
So the like tell. So the great thing about you is that you have a lot of failures. In fact, we have a failure we can talk about.
Our first run at, or my first run at starting a business,
and we can get into that. What's like to you? The cool thing about you is family is most important, right? And so tell everyone a little bit about your family and so on.
Yeah. So, like Dean, I live in Orange County. I have a wife and a 5.5-month-old daughter, who we just love more than anything in the world. And, my family became a very huge focus, just like they should be. And they're always number one in my life. And, part of that was, prior to us having our first baby named Cambria, my wife Noelle pointed out that she said, "Hey, I want to become a stay-at-home mom," and that in Orange County is very tough.
Totally.
Yes. So, in order to achieve that, I could not just depend on my normal work salary. And like I said, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but pretty much everything I had attempted was nowhere near making the amount of income that I needed to, one, just have Noelle become a stay-at-home mom, and two, for me to become a full-time entrepreneur. Mm. So basically, I had tried a whole bunch of different things. I don't know if you want me to go into detail about those different things.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Like because I think, you know, there are a lot of people out there, and I fell for this very early in the game, you know, that say just follow your passion and you're gonna make it,
and then the money flows.
Flows, not, and it's like, yeah, no,
usually,
yeah. Don't need any business experience whatsoever. Who cares about selling and marketing?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the failures, because that's what I think is so much more important to people, knowing what does not work, so that they can focus on what does work. So. First venture. Let's talk about that. So what was the first venture?
Well, Dean, like I said, introduced me to the concept of being an entrepreneur. And so we read a couple books, and I thought that was all I ever needed to become the next, you know, Mark Zuckerberg.
And same here.
And we thought we had come up with this just phenomenal concept. And basically what happened was, first off, the name, I don't know if you know this, but name of our thing was a derogatory name that I hadn't done any research on to know that. And basically, it was a total flop because we had no experience in that market.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say the experience of learning how to outsource was
that,
good.
Yeah. And that was something that was really, really cool. And that's what I think for both of us really, I mean, that you learn from every failure, and that was definitely a huge learning experience, good learning experience. Cause, you know, the concept revolved around two different markets. So you had a consumer market, and then you had to convince, because it was in the food industry, you had to convince restaurant owners to take on
which
this.
Which we had no experience in.
Exactly. We had none of that. And so it was kind of doomed to begin with. We just did not have the foundation in place. Like you said, the name was horrible.
Yeah.
and we didn't know it, but it sounded cool because it was kind of it was in America, it's not too bad, but in other countries it's very bad. It was cool because that was the first chance we outsourced, and we ended up outsourcing to India. I had a really good experience building a website that would sustain this concept.
And it was a semi-complicated website. It wasn't something super easy.
No, this is something that normally you would pay. I mean, we paid, how much did we pay for it? Like $3,000, $4,000,
something like that.
I remember you were talking with some people that were saying, "Holy crap, you only paid that much."
Right.
We paid $50,000 for a website that doesn't even do half of the stuff.
Right.
And so that was a cool experience. Yeah.
But pretty much besides that, what I learned from that process was how to outsource, but also where, like you kind of said, where we were doomed to begin with. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't my first flop. So that was probably one of my bigger flops, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of jumping in the deep end before. And I don't want people hearing this to think that, you know, just because you don't have experience in something that you can't be successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's more like there's just a lot of low hanging fruit out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be better to get the low hanging fruit first, mm-hmm. To build confidence,
mm-hmm.
And then try to tackle maybe a home run.
Yeah, totally.
And so, at least for me, I was depending on that home run we were going for just to transition out of my job and everything like that. And then that probably wasn't the most responsible, or strategical, way to approach.
Strategical. That's a new word. Yeah. Strategical. I love it. That's like strategery. Love it.
Yeah. So anyways, that was my, first big flop. And then, actually after that, I tried to write children's books. That didn't work. After that, I, developed three apps.
And we'll get into the apps because this is kind of, when you said that the children's books didn't work, did you make any sales?
I made a few sales. I'll take that back. One is, it's not that it didn't work. I probably could have made money off of it. It was the fact that I didn't know how to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because it was, I lacked the skills.
Mm-hmm.
It was just not my area of strength, I
mm-hmm.
guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I didn't think through what would happen after I wrote my first couple of books.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any more to write. That was it. And I had built this website and I had outsourced this stuff and mm-hmm. made these contacts and kind of put these grand plans together. And I was like, oh, that's all I have for that then.
Well, that's good. That's an awesome learning experience. Cause then you know, that's a lesson in scalability mm-hmm. too, you know, especially dealing with a physical product. How are you going to get it? You know, how are you going to get them published and distributed and all other stuff too? And so obviously you learn from that as well. What did your wife think about when that happened?
My wife, it knows that I'm crazy in the head, so you know, it's always another idea for me. And she everything that I've come up with, she's supported.
Mm-hmm.
She was reading the book. She was telling other moms about it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But you know, it was just something that didn't have the fire under it to really keep going.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you move from there, that failure, sort of quote unquote failure, which people in the last episode, Nick, who asked about pivoting.
Right.
You get to a point where it's just not working. I mean, for you, you were doing the marketing, doing the sales and so on. And it just, like you said, you know, it kind of does get to that point where you know you have to change, right?
Right.
So you changed to apps. What kind of apps?
Well, first I tried to go off of the same content. I was just being lazy and I didn't want to write new content. So I had this content sitting around, which were, children's books and, kind of things directed towards moms.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Noelle was not a mom yet. So mm-hmm. that was not the greatest choice because I didn't have a direct source for the market. Basically I started developing these apps geared towards, and I had a lot of experience working with younger children
mm-hmm.
and, I developed these apps for them and I got some sales again, but it just was not anything that was going to change our lives. And it wasn't something where most people would look at it and say, well, Brett, why didn't you just continue to grow that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was no more growing it. That was it. That was all there was. There was really nowhere else to go with it. It had peaked at what it was and mm-hmm. it wasn't much.
Yeah. And you're forced to pivot. No matter how much more time, energy and so on that you put into it, you just know it's not going to happen.
Right. The return on my time investment would have been incredibly low.
Yeah.
I would have put in hours and hours and hours and hours just to see a few more dollars roll in. And that was not the ideal situation for my life with working a full-time job at the time.
Now, on the flip side of that, because I've had kind of this similar thing, like with a niche site. A lot of time put into it, was making decent money, mm-hmm. couldn't make more than what it was already making.
Right.
But luckily, it just kind of kept on going and, mm-hmm. and generating revenue. But like, how did it feel to actually be making money? Because a lot of people don't even make a dime.
Yeah. The first time I sold one of my children's books, I had the biggest smile on my face because it just meant, wow, this is possible. It's possible to make money online. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge hurdle for me to overcome because, you know, as everyone's first question, well, how much money have you made off of it? And it was cool to be able to say something, mm-hmm. you know, it really wasn't much at all, but it was something. And so it just kind of made me know, well, if I could just dial it in, if I could just, I don't want to say find that one thing, but just keep, I kept feeling like I was getting, more focused and more focused mm-hmm. and more focused. So it was almost like my failures mm-hmm. were, making me like a laser.
Yeah.
And yeah. that was good. Yeah. That was good for a personality like me who wants to shoot for the stars,
mm-hmm.
you know, but maybe needs something a little bit more focused and, accessible, I guess mm-hmm. would be a good word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really, really great. And so, the point in talking about all this is, you know, a lot of people quit in the very beginning, if they're, you know, after the first thing doesn't do well, even after the second thing, but eventually, and you're going to see how well it's progressed, you listening, but the fact is that you didn't quit. And this is, we're going on the third thing now.
Oh, yeah.
And so
there's probably other things that I forgot in between that never even made it across the finish line.
Totally. So apps, you did have one app that did pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still doing well. Actually it is an app that I will,
fix.
It's very buggy actually right now, but it's making good sales, which makes me know that now I know that's actually a good concept. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's being downloaded, even though it's not the yeah. best app. I'm not going to tell you on this just because yeah. I don't want you guys being associating me with that quality of a product. But it is an app that I'm not going to lie. I really do want to make apps still, and mm-hmm. I've talked to you about it mm-hmm. and stuff. I think it's a great market for my personality type and for a person.
Yeah,
but just
definitely.
Everyone out there, you have to spend a fair amount of money on apps. I don't want to say a lot because it depends on your mm-hmm. income situation, but it is definitely not the lowest hanging fruit out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now my approach is more like I'm going to develop these apps as I don't want to say a form of recreation,
mm-hmm.
but of passion.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and we'll probably talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. Passion versus actually definitely. Your business and. But I definitely have a passion for apps. I have a passion for one specific app that I really want to dial in. And mm-hmm. That's something that if it's successful, that's awesome.
Yeah.
If it's not, yeah.
And we'll talk about this too, about you said, you know, you have to invest a fair amount of money. Sometimes you have to invest a lot of money in things. I think a lot of people are afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your experience with investing as far as, because look, we invested a lot of money in one mm-hmm. thing. You've invested a lot of time in another. You've had some failed apps, which you invested mm-hmm. money into. Mm-hmm. So to the person who is like, holy, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say that because then I have to make this explicit.
Right.
Holy crap. Yeah. I am spending a lot of money on things and I'm either not seeing a return or I've seen a little bit of return and so on. How do you stem that fear?
Well, you most likely will have to spend money on your business. Mm. Does that mean you should, empty out the credit cards and go into massive amounts of debt? Probably not, unless you have a very established business model. And actually I'll talk about, some finance stuff with, the current business that's yeah. successful right now. And that's a big flip between, having no clue what you're doing and then hopefully making for me a smart decision. But
yeah.
For the people listening, I think there's a wide spectrum. I think there's people who are a little more on my side who don't have that much money to invest up front. And if you're going to spend anywhere from $700 on an app to $5,000, you're really going to hope that works. And you're not going to just brush it off if it doesn't. It's going to affect your life and maybe your family too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have maybe the people on the other end of the spectrum who that's maybe not a big deal, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe they have enough income to totally keep going forward with it. But what it's a really bad cliche, but what I did is from every failure, I really felt like I was learning a lot.
Yeah.
And especially the value of money and upfront investment. That was something that I kind of just kept saying, like, all right, well, my next venture, I really have to make sure that, I can't keep blowing through this cash flow.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely learned a lot, and that's something that's I think tugs on, especially any dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's your responsibility.
Totally.
And that is something. It's a big balance between you're saying I want to invest in my future, and I want to be an entrepreneur, and I want to change lives,
and for the purpose of, you know, bettering your family.
Right.
But you have to you also have to weigh the other side.
Right. So it's definitely a balancing act. So I don't think there's not a black and white right wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dependent on your situation and risk tolerance and mm-hmm. Kind of can you recoup the money. Mm-hmm. But definitely recommend, unless you have experience or a very good feeling that something is going to work, not just because you think it's a good idea, but there's some type of proven track record,
mm-hmm.
don't empty your bank on it.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
There's many ways to test your concept or idea to see if it's a good one prior to, you know, putting yourself in a tough spot.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the low hanging fruit. So this is if you couldn't tell, I was trying to show how much struggle it was to get to the point that that Brett's at right now. Brett is now making enough income to have actually quit his job.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort, probably a lot of arguing.
Yeah.
Even with his extended family, which you'll hear about in just a little bit.
Right.
So tell everyone what you do now and how you said the low hanging fruit. You said like you're able to test. What do you do now? How did you actually know that this was going to be something that was good for you?
Like I said, I had kind of extended my bank account on my ideas. So my next concept had to be something that was not going to cost a lot up front.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, I talked about how my wife wanted to become a stay-at-home mom when she found out she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a ticking clock, mm-hmm. on being able to create some type of side income until it kind of hit the fan. So we had this extra amount of clothes. My wife's in the beauty industry.
Mm-hmm.
So she had some sample clothing that we had extra. And I was like, oh, I heard eBay's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to sell on eBay, you know, and I'll be a power seller or something. I just heard the word. I didn't really know what it meant or anything. Anyways, while I'm looking it up, I stumbled upon a course that taught about Amazon, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I had never sold one thing on eBay, and I had never sold one thing on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually, you know what? I hadn't even bought anything on either site.
Wow.
I had never ordered one thing off those. And I just was so desperate. The course was a nice price point, and it had good reviews. So I said, I'm going to give it a shot. Why not? Right. And, the course was specifically focused on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
Not so much eBay, but later on, I'll talk about how eBay, intertwines into it. But, mm-hmm. Basically it taught how to resell products on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and they do the customer service for you. They do the shipping for you. All you have to do is you have to make sure you get good product and put it, mm-hmm. there. And it at the time I was like, this sounds like a gimmick. Like this doesn't even sound like it's possible.
Like it's real. It's
all I do is I find an item and send it over there and hope that it sells. And, so like I said, so I spent, I think it was, I had some type of discount. So it was $100 on the course,
mm-hmm.
and to test out the concept, I had to spend $40 to sign up on an account on Amazon. So, mm-hmm. now we're up to 140,
mm-hmm.
and it was right after Christmas. So there was a whole bunch of clearance sales.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And, I specifically remember what we bought first. It was Zuzu Pets.
Uh-huh.
They're little toy hamsters.
Nice.
And they were on major sale. And so we bought the toy hamsters and sent them into Amazon thinking, well, if that doesn't work, I'm sending the hamsters back and we're going to give it to our, for, you know, our baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
lots of hamsters.
Yeah, we had lots of hamsters. So I think overall for that first test was $400.
Wow.
And if we didn't make our 400 back,
yeah,
we were done.
Yeah.
And it takes about a week for the shipments to get over there.
Mm-hmm.
And right when they got there, all of a sudden money started going into my account. I remember calling Noelle, my wife, and just saying, I can't believe the purple Zuzu pet just sold. and the spotted one did too. And all of a sudden it kind of clicked, like, this might work.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the money that we got back from it and reinvested it.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, did you make all your money back?
Yeah, made all of our money back.
Wow.
Yeah, because the course teaches kind of how
to kind of manage the risk
and metrics, the multiples that have to be up on it.
Yeah.
And just so everyone knows, it's not rocket science. There's the tech. If you have a smartphone,
mm-hmm,
you could use that to really hedge your bets and mm-hmm, when you're going out and looking for products to resell. But yeah. Anyways, we kind of just kept bankrolling it, and we'd send products in and get them back, or get money back, send products in, get money back, send products in, get money back.
Mm-hmm.
And now, with a down week of, we moved, like Dean said, I just recently quit my job and mm-hmm, I'm doing this full time, but we are up to $41,000 a month,
mm-hmm,
gross sales.
That's gross. So.
Yeah. Just so everyone knows, yeah, that it's not yeah, my it's, net income.
But at the same time, you know, it's pretty impressive revenue for something like that. So
yeah,
what is average net, if you can say?
Gosh, that's a tough one because our inventory is so diverse. But a good way to look at it is Amazon takes about 20 to 25% just off of commission mm-hmm, and stuff because we're on their marketplace. And eBay too. We also sell on eBay
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, probably less than 20 to 30% are our cost of goods.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably net about 40% of that.
See, and that's
like
still
that.
Good. That's yeah, still really, really good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so
it's still crazy for me. I look at our sales like, and I'm not like, yeah, I'm just such a smart entrepreneur that I was able to figure this out. I mean, I look at our sales on a daily basis and I'm like, I still can't believe this is working.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's neat because it's it is totally, like you said, the low hanging fruit. And okay, so that's impressive. That's a ton. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But even with this, right, it didn't start off like that.
Nope.
So, like, how hard was it to get, and how did you scale, and how did you, you know, how, you know, someone listening to that, to those figures.
Say, I spent $400 and then I'm at $41,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely not the case. Mm-hmm. It's been a year since mm-hmm, we've been doing this, which is great. We really made a lot of progress and we did scale a lot. And this business plays into a lot of my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big numbers guy. I'm a mm-hmm, big finance guy. So we kind of talked about hitting a point and knowing whether to pivot or move forward.
Yeah.
So we spent, we got that money back, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think at the time we were probably selling maybe a couple $1,000s a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was decision time.
Mm-hmm.
It was, hey, is this going to be a little side income thing that I do to just get my family by and help uh-huh, the well be a stay at home wife?
Which is very, I mean, that's very tempting.
Yeah, yeah.
And
totally.
In fact, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm making a decent amount. You know, like you said, it comes to a point where you have to make a decision because you're not going to be able to do it otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say you're not going to be able, more than likely, unless you take the leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
I agree. And it was that point. And I sat down with Noelle and we talked about it. And I kind of said, hey, look, I really want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm supposed to be in life. And she was on board with it. And I kind of said, okay, well, that means, you know, we're actually going to take a dip in our finances.
Because you had to move. Because at the time
yeah,
you were subsidized the housing because you were working at a university where they paid for it, right?
Right. Yeah. My housing was, I was sitting in the best situation. our income paid for all of our bills. Our housing was paid for. At the time we had a great insurance plan,
mm-hmm,
for our baby, our upcoming baby, it was all this stuff. And And I had to make that tough choice of, hey, look, we're going to move towards the path that's kind of unknown in the fact that I still don't know what the outcome's going to be. Yeah. I've been an entrepreneur for, a full-time entrepreneur for 15 days. You know? And I don't have, I can't write an extensive biography on myself.
Totally.
But I do know it was the right choice, and I love what I'm doing right now. But I also know there is that point, and you covered a good point in your last podcast. So you hit a point, and you're like, what do I do right now? And I think we all want someone to say, well, here's the right answer.
Exactly.
And that doesn't exist. I couldn't tell you how many people said, you're being an idiot.
Totally.
You have, at the time, so get this. At the time that I was faced with kind of the crossroads, my boss called me into the office and said, hey, look, we're lining you up for a promotion. Like Dean said, I was working for a university, and I'm 26, going to be 27. And he said, hey, look, we want to make you a dean of the university. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I could be a dean, but okay, thanks. You know, that's really nice. And he goes, you are on the trajectory to become the president of a college someday. And I was like, okay, that doesn't help. That does not help my decision making process. And I came home and talked to Noel about it. I said, I think something's wrong with me. That is such a great opportunity. What is wrong with me? Why can't I be so excited and just do this on the side? Why do I feel
torn
to become this entrepreneur in this totally not predictable path? And I talked to my coworkers, and they're like, hey, look, you need to stick to your job. What are you doing? And even family would say, hey, you got a kid on the way. What are you doing?
Especially grandma.
Yeah, grandma.
She totally did the same thing
grandma,
to me.
No, grandma just wanted to know when I was bringing the baby by.
That's true. Yeah,
she didn't. There's nothing else besides that. But yeah, I still have those moments where if it's an off sales day or maybe we didn't get the products we wanted or a price dropped in something and I'm like, oh gosh, oh, did I make the right choice or something like that? But in the end, I just feel so aligned with what I'm doing. And if any dads are out there, I know that if you're in the same boat that I was and still am, that is something where you really want to become an entrepreneur and you want to find out how that's possible. And there's so much low hanging fruit out there that, Dean started service businesses, freelancing stuff. That is great low hanging fruit.
Oh,
it's hard.
It's hard. It's a lot of time, but really the investment is just time.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is something that you will be surprised when you get your first client or something like that.
Totally.
And reselling is another one of those industries where it's low upfront investment and it works. There's a lot of people who do it, but that's because it works.
Yeah. And so how much time did you spend? And how did you start scaling it?
Okay, so I spent at first just as a side thing. I would just go out on a Saturday, get some stuff, come back, list it, which means you get it ready to send it into Amazon. And I don't know, we could talk about that in further detail. But
as much as you want to talk about.
Okay. So that was it. Basically, my Saturday kind of, at night I still watch a movie with Noel or something like that. But that was about it.
Yeah.
That was at first. And then once it started being successful, I said, well, I work a full-time job. I can't work anything past Saturdays and I don't want to give up my Sundays with my family.
Yeah, totally.
And my in-laws at the time were going through severe financial hardship and had what I didn't, time. And I had a little bit of what they didn't have, which was money. And so I said, hey, how about we form a partnership, which at the time people thought was crazy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I would think it was
you're
crazy.
You're giving up your profit, all this stuff. I'm like, I can't grow this further.
Oh, totally. I don't care about the profit. I'm talking about family.
Oh, yeah.
That's very scary.
Well, a little side note, my father-in-law was a COO of a $160 million company. He brings some things to the table that I don't. That's a little more, that was why I felt so comfortable handing it over to him.
Well, let's talk about that real quick. Not about the CEO thing, but the profit thing. I mean, to us where we are now, mm-hmm. that's not a big deal. But even with like some of my things, I give what would be considered an insane amount of profit to one of my virtual assistants.
Right.
But it's because he has a ton of time, just like you said, mm-hmm. he has a ton of time and it motivates the crap out of
right.
him. What do you say to someone who says, well, I don't want to pay, you know, I want to keep that profit margin.
Right. Well, I think in every case, it is a case by case basis. Mm. You have some skills that are not necessarily, they don't take a lot of maybe intellectual properties. For example, taping boxes. Like mm-hmm. right now, I need people to tape boxes. I'm not going to give up a part of my company to someone to tape boxes.
Exactly.
I was happy to give up part of this company to my in-laws because... there were concepts in there that they needed to be very smart to get and needed to be very motivated to profit off of. Mm-hmm. And so if I would have just said, hey, I'll pay you $10 an hour to do this, mm-hmm. they probably would have done it. They needed the money at the time.
Yeah.
But they would have been looking elsewhere. Totally.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. Cause even, you know, like they're going to take ownership of it.
Right.
You know, you're at the university, you have 8 hours on Saturday, and you're probably already burnt out by then.
Yeah. Like, and at my old full time, I almost said current, but my old full time job, my regular work week was at a minimum 50 hours, mm-hmm. And typically averaged about 60 hours a week. Those were my work weeks. Yeah, it wasn't, super cake.
Yeah. Situation. So that's awesome. That is really cool that, that you were able to make that decision and it worked, right? I mean, you were able to start scaling. That was
the best choice I have ever made in business. because what happened was my company or my, I don't know, reselling company would have plateaued. That would have been it. Mm-hmm. I would have been a, you know, extra $1,000 to $2,000 a month person. That would have kind of defined it. And when I made that choice, all of a sudden, when I'm sitting at work for 9 hours a day, I see two things happening. My bank account going down because they're out spending money on inventory.
Yep, yep.
And then all of a sudden, it skyrockets up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does it again and again, week after week, while I'm sitting at work. Not because I just wanted to ride, you know.
Like they're on their...
Yeah, on their success. Uh-huh. But it was a perfect blend of what I needed and what they needed.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, they're paying their bills from it.
Mm-hmm.
I all of a sudden... this company keeps growing month after month, mm-hmm. you know, and had I not had them, it would have never, ever gotten there.
Yeah.
And so it was the perfect blend of, it was the best choice I've ever made.
Well, see, and that's where that, and cause I can totally relate to, how some people might be in that, that realm where they're making, you know, they're making $1,000, mm-hmm. they're making $2,000, but can't take the leap because they don't have the time. They don't want to sacrifice whatever. That took a lot of trust on your end to do that. Right?
I would never have done it with anyone that honestly wasn't family.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was something that was, on the verge of becoming pretty successful. Mm-hmm. It was something that involved my bank account,
mm-hmm.
Credit cards.
And you had to train them. Yeah.
I had to give away the information.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at the time was pretty valuable to me. So, it was definitely something that you have to have full trust in the person.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So typical day now.
Okay.
What's that like? Aside from moving into your house.
Yeah. So I'll give two typical days. One while I was working full time, just mm-hmm. because I think that gives a good perspective of what to expect if you're mm-hmm. trying to start a side business. Mm-hmm. I don't laugh at the people who like act like they're all of a sudden like there's just super passive income.
Uh-huh,
But most likely, if you're starting a side business, aspiring to be a full-time business, you're going to put in so many hours.
Totally. You know? Totally. I mean, but they're fulfilling hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a totally different, I worked, I don't even know, 13 hours today. And so many people will pitch this thing as like, yeah. And then I was on the beach and we went, you know, and it's like, no, you're probably going to be anything you do, anything you care about, you're going to be working at.
Totally.
I would rather, I get to hang with my, I work out of the house. And so, I'm with my family all day long and it's just awesome. But, yeah. So anyways, I'll do the two full-time gigs. My typical day when I was working a full-time job was, work from about 8:30 till 6:30. Come home, I'd have to check my sales, check how my inventory is doing, call my in-laws to see what, you know, what was happening and where they were going to go source again. I'd have to check different ways of consuming inventory. If my in-laws were booked that night, I would maybe go somewhere till about 9 o'clock. And then my job actually consists of having to put on night events too. So then I'd have to come back at night and do that night event and then wake up the next morning and do it all over again. And that includes the Saturday of waking up at 5 a.m. and doing my side business. So, I'm not gonna lie. It was really hard. You know, at the time that this all happened, my wife Noelle was pregnant and she needed me to. And, it was a constant, conversation. Sometimes it got bad when, you know, she'd say, well, you know, I need you. And I'm like, well, I'm doing this for you, you know, and it was all that, it's all that stuff that is so real to dads and families. There's people who paint this perfect picture. It doesn't, it's not that it doesn't exist, but there is some turbulence along the way.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to think about, I mean, even before this has been 3 years in the making.
Right.
And so, you know, to have the idea that, okay, I'm going to have this great idea. I'm going to do whatever this course says. And then I'm going to be making passive income, like a lot of the gurus say out there, which is totally not true. It's, you know, for, you know, it's just not that way. It's especially turbulent for dads.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was... my wife Noelle was so supportive, but at the same time very concerned for our family. And so when I was making a profit, I was taking that profit and putting it back into the business. Man, I couldn't tell you how many conversations we had where we said, what are we doing if this bombs? We just lost so much money that we could have had in our bank account. And so anyways, that was my full-time day while working. And then now my full-time days not very different, except the fact that I'm not going to work for someone else. I'm going to work for myself. And my in-laws are still partners in this business. And I woke up this morning at 6:30 or 6, I don't know. I can't remember. And I work out of my garage mainly now and got down there, got my coffee, and boom, got to work. 8 o'clock, I got a call on my cell phone from my wife, Noelle, who was asleep upstairs, saying my daughter woke up. She didn't sleep all night. You got to come take her. And so I went up there. We go for a walk every morning. That is something that I can do because
totally.
I work for myself now, you know, and it's not like I take an 8-hour walk. While I'm walking, I'm loving on my daughter and spending quality time with her, but I'm also brainstorming what's next for my business. It's such a switch of mentality. Because I'm now responsible for the outcome of what's going to happen. My boss isn't. I don't have a boss. And so, you know what I mean? It is such a flip of responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, anyway, so we went for a walk, came back about 9, talked with my wife for a little bit, and then 9:30 got back to work, you know? And so, we were working pretty much up until I drove over here, about 7:30. So that's, I'm sure anyone else at their full-time job would have been like, today sucked. I've worked so many hours.
Yeah.
Today I was like, man, I think we made a good amount of money. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah. And to walk into my house, into the studio at this late a time and be like, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? On a weekday.
Yeah.
When, because even me, I'm like, I'm like, yeah, work sucked today. So, and it's cool to see, you know, that that's that it has that effect. But at the same time, you are the boss. And if you don't do that, then
I was like, well, you know, I see all those pictures of the gurus and stuff, and some gurus are awesome, some mm-hmm. aren't. And but you know, sometimes they'll be like showing that picture of them sipping like lemonade on like an like on the beach or something. Like that doesn't happen. That would be boring anyways.
Oh,
like,
totally.
What are you going to do all day?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, just sit around and drink Mai Tais all day. Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, obviously, they have that for the psychological effect. but yeah, I mean, you're doing something that you love doing. It's fun. You get to be with your entire family, which now you have, like, what, 9 people doing things like that?
Yeah, we have a team and stuff. So
is Grandma helping?
Grandma's not there yet. Keep working on her to get in. Jeez. It is something that the days fly by.
Mm-hmm.
I was just over here the other night having dinner with your family. Yeah. I don't even remember what day that was.
I think it was last Thursday.
Yeah, right. So it's literally been long work days, but I don't want to say it doesn't feel like work. It feels like I'm getting to fulfill my purpose.
Yeah,
and that is a different feeling, waking up every day like that.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Now this is one of the longer interviews that I've had, which is great. Cause we actually were talking about at some point in time doing a podcast together,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's on this one or if it's something completely different, because it's so cool to talk to you, not only because of your family, but because it's real. It's not this pie in the sky. Yeah, I jumped off. I quit my job.
Yeah,
and I just and every day has been
great.
Yeah, no work whatsoever.
Yeah.
4-hour work week.
No, actually, even yesterday, one of the more stressful things that I did, and this is anyone, either a current entrepreneur could probably totally understand, and then a person thinking about, well, I'm just gonna do this, quit my job, and
mm-hmm.
hopefully everything works out. Yesterday, or my insurance runs out on November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great insurance plan. I have a 5.5-month-old baby. You mm-hmm. have, mm-hmm. you know, kids. You understand that. Yeah. That is a big responsibility,
totally.
Insurance. And yesterday I was looking through insurance plans and having to figure out, okay, as a self-employed person, what's the best one to do? How much can we afford? And
mm-hmm.
by the way, we are not, you know, driving Lamborghinis and getting a mansion right now. We are meeting our budgetary needs
mm-hmm.
to get by.
Well, because it's split between two families.
Right. Yeah. I think anyone who paint, like, I could have easily said we make $41,000 a month.
Well, you kind of got in trouble for that Jim Cochran's blog, which, you know, that was where you had gotten the course. And then, and you said that at the time I'm making about $1,000 a day.
Yeah. I said selling.
Selling. Or selling $1,000 a day, which, you know, to an entrepreneur, your first thing is revenue. But to someone who's not, it's like, oh my gosh, he's making $1,000 a day.
He is rich.
And then you had someone who basically called you out and called you a fat liar.
Yeah, yeah. Which is cool. I mean, not that he called me a liar, but I was able to prove that I was doing that. And like I said, please do not think that I have arrived and am mm-hmm. going to go on my yacht after I finish this podcast.
But you've learned along the way in the last 3 years how to build it
mm-hmm.
and to build more and to move on to other things. Because now you're in eBay, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're on eBay. We actually do physical reselling,
mm-hmm.
like person-to-person reselling. And, you know, it was one of those things where once I understood that this concept worked, that you could find product that for at a price and sell it to someone else at a higher price,
mm-hmm.
the floodgates just kind of opened.
Mm.
And I was like, I can do this all day long. I can hire people to do this all day long for me. And that's kind of what we kept doing. And it has, put it this way, we have our average selling month right now is $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
We did that in the worst months of retail. We haven't even experienced a Christmas yet. So very excited about the future of it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but it has come at, with a lot of, it wasn't just an easy golden path.
Yeah, so totally. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. So what could someone do So you know, you have a way that kind of test the water too. Mm-hmm. That you wanted to that you were going to share with people. So you know, kind of give a gist of it, and then I'll kind of share how we kind of plan about going and teaching people how to do this.
Yeah. So that actually is one of my passions, is people who want to do this. I've told probably hundreds of people. Maybe one person has actually done it, which Dean talks about all the time. Take action.
Totally.
Take action. There is if you consume information all the time, you will not make money. Mm-hmm. Period. It will not happen. So please take action. If you do anything else out of this podcast, take action.
Yep.
But one of my passions is telling people about this reselling business, and I mentored one of my friends 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. No, maybe 3 weeks ago. So it takes about a week to get started. And anyways, he in 2.5 weeks has sold $1,200 worth of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And he has no money.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, he basically came out to me out of desperation, and I said, hey, yeah, sure, I'll show you how to do this. And he 2.5 weeks, $1,200. He's so pumped right now.
Yeah.
And he calls me every day and tells me about what's going on. And
I sold the hamster.
Yeah. The Zuzu pets are awesome. he's so excited, and it's just kind of building off that low hanging fruit, you know? And, there's definitely some things that you can get started with at a very, very minimal cost. Mm-hmm. There's actually a trade-in program that Amazon has that is very easy to access. Mm-hmm. And I almost guarantee you, if you gave me 5 minutes, I can point you towards things around your house that would make you $100 in 20 minutes. I can look around Dean's room right now and see that.
Yeah.
I've already been looking around. Well, I'll make some deals after this. But it is something like the concept to focus on is maybe moving away from the home run, mm-hmm. and focusing a little bit more on the low-hanging fruit.
On the little wins that are going to motivate you to see, okay, this works. Now I can do this, and then I can build on this and this and this and this.
Right.
And so, that's something that I really, really wanted to share with the podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is on this podcast episode, if you go to youcanworkless.com/Brett, very easy to remember. youcanworkless.com/Brett. There is going to be an opt-in form at the bottom of the podcast. And what we're going to do is we're going to have just a webinar with some folks he'll basically go through and teach you how to just do this quick win. The trade-in program sounds really easy. I mean, mm-hmm. you were explaining it to me, and I'm actually pretty excited about learning it too.
Yeah.
So, and that'll get my feet wet to actually try out some of the stuff that you do. So youcanworkless.com/Brett, and we'll be having a webinar probably in about 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And once we get it all straightened out, we'll send you an email and then invite you to the webinar. And I think it's going to be a really cool experience. And this way you can, you know, give tips, after the fact, even see, you know, how well people are doing with it, if they were actually able to do it, and if they actually took action on it.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is so important.
It is.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, Brett. This has been so cool. I yeah, I am so proud of you. This so the fact that you were able to stick with this and to see how you have turned really something that that's been a lot of work into what it is now. It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks. I think anyone listening should know that you are the real deal when it comes to giving information out around the world of being an entrepreneur. And so many people paint this perfect picture mm-hmm. of the dream life of an entrepreneur, when in reality there's awesome ups mm-hmm. and then there's hard downs. And sometimes it just feels like you're stuck in the middle of those, of both those. And I'm not only because I'm your cousin, but also because I read every post you have. I listen to every podcast you have. I still mm-hmm. learn so much, and I just feel such a connection with the fact that you're real with people. you're honest. You know, I know you're honest and trustworthy because your family and I get to see the back end of it. But for anyone listening, like Dean is a trustworthy information. And he gives you information that you could take to the bank, and that is so hard to find online, and so hard to kind of trust someone with, you know, where they're going to guide you and what path they're going to guide you down. So I really encourage you to listen to Dean and contact him, get to know him, and I think you'll benefit from that. So I was super excited to be here and share my story.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I appreciate it. Cool. So yeah, just go to youcanworkless.com/Brett and we'll have some fun and see if we can get people started going in the right direction.
That's right.
And actually taking action, which is such a huge thing. So, All right, man. I'm sure we will have, well, hopefully we'll start another podcast together, or maybe start doing this together. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd
but
be fun.
If not, for some reason, I'll have you on the podcast.
Okay. <That's
good. laughs> All right, man.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great one. All right, everyone. Yeah, obviously that was an amazing, amazing interview. So it's been a while since that actual interview happened. I shouldn't say it was a while. It was about a week ago as of recording this. And and the thing is, I've already tried to implement some of this stuff. And it is very, I mean, it's work, don't get me wrong, but it is simple to do. In fact, there's a lot of stuff out there. But the cool thing is, Brett is totally willing to help. Obviously, you heard in the interview that if you go to youcanworkless.com/Brett, we're going to be doing a webinar to show how you can, just with Amazon, you can earn $100 off of Amazon pretty simply by using some of the things around you. And it's generally the exact same, I mean, it's generally the same concept that he would use for what's Amazon Fulfillment by Amazon FBA. So it's going to be be a great webinar. youcanworkless.com/Brett. And we're going to go through the whole thing and you'll be able to ask questions. You'll be able to see ask about the intricacies of what he does as well. And yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. And so anyway, as you can see, the idea doesn't have to be complicated. Go after the things that you're going to be able to earn money quickly at. And then you're going to be able to figure out, what should I do next? What should I do next? Whether it's just going and trying to do web development, talking with people at a networking event or whatever, and telling them that you're a web developer, because you know it's very easy to do that and to actually get a sales appointment and to make a sale. So do the low hanging fruit. Do the things that are going to really bring in revenue. And then you're going to learn, okay, well, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that. And then you'll be able to figure out, what do I need to do next? What is the next steps that I need to do? Do I need to take a training class? Do I need to do I need to work on my sales pitch? Do I need a sales coach or whatever? Or, you know, if you're doing something like what Brett's doing, you're thinking, do I need a new system? Do I need to hire someone on? All these things, you know, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult when you're doing something that is actually making you money, because then you start figuring out ways to scale that and to make more money and more money and more money. Just like you saw with Brett, he could not do that alone, right? He could not do that alone. And so he was able to hire on his and partner up with his family, who at the time needed the money. And while he was at work full time, they were earning stuff for him and making things happen. So it is just a matter of doing the things that are going to bring money soon. So if you can teach people how to sing, if you're a voice coach, start putting up flyers that you're a voice coach. Start asking friends and family around you if they know anybody who wants to learn how to sing. It's not it. I know it's hard, especially if you're an introvert like me. It's hard asking. You think that they're going to not want to help, but it's absolutely the opposite. They are going to want to help you. So ask and start doing the things that are going to bring that income, and then it's going to spawn you to do more and more. All right, guys. Well, have a great one. This was a fantastic interview. And this is the Entrepreneur Ideas Podcast. YouCanWorkLess.com.